Okay, good evening. We're starting a little bit late. I apologize for that. But I just have this policy that I don't speak unless I have people in front of me to speak to. Kind of weird, but that's what it is. Let's see what we're up to up in here. Okay, we're on page 141. Now, I don't think you can see the 141 on the sheet, but you see it's 140 on the same sheet. So the one next to 140, adjacent to 140, is 141. Okay, so, you know, it is not meant as a warning. It's meant to have it doing it as a sign of respect to my audience, but the ideas that are being discussed are getting more and more sensitive. I don't mean sensitive like that kind of sensitive. I mean sensitive that they are the Yeshivish term for that is dachistic, which means dach means thin, it's very nuanced, very, very nuanced in terms of the sensitivity to human nature and so on. And Rabbi Zessler is helping us dig deeper and deeper into what makes us tick and to try to find out what, if you know what Musar really is. Musar, not the way we use Musar, you know, to Musar somebody out, but Musar in the classic sense of the Musar movement was brutal self-analysis to try to get deeper into it to find out what really motivates me, because we have so many different layers of things that we use to cover ourselves up to protect ourselves and facing up to the real reality, which maybe would make us feel uncomfortable. So let's see where this takes us with that. I hope I got your curiosity going. So that's in the middle of telling us, still trying to grapple with what had Adam Rishon, who had no Yetzirah inside of him, had he fallen into the trap of this external Yetzirah. So he said that because, he told us that despite the fact that he had no inner Yetzirah, there are two factors that cloud a person's clarity, that create a degree of hester that are simply part of the human condition. And the first thing is the one we discussed last week, which is what we left off with. That is simply being a creation. To be a creation means to have the reality of Hashem covered up to some degree. Otherwise, that creation cannot perceive itself as something separate, and therefore it's not a creation, because creation means that it is something on some level, at least in terms of perception, something that has its own independent existence. So we're up to the bottom paragraph here to get to the second one. Milvadze, besides what we just mentioned, the second factor that creates hester in a person is nimtzas ba'adam etchilas b'riyasto od b'chines hester nasefer. From the beginning of his creation, there's another aspect of hester. Hester nasefer is additional hester. Amukim is there, which is even deeper. Ba'azen nema b'sifri, and this is what the sifri, which is a Sifri is a Tanaic work. This comes from the period of Tanaim, the same period as the Mishnah. But Sifri alludes to this when Sifri says, Adam nashu min shemayim v'gufu min ha'aretz, that a person has a nefesh, a neshama, that's from shemayim, and a guf, a body, that's from this world, as opposed to the malachim that we talked about earlier, who are creations, but their guf is also from shemayim. So what does that mean? That man's guf, man's body, is from this world. He is created with the idea, with the knowledge, with the awareness that he has the potential to go down to a lower level. To go down to that level, the post-eating of the tree level, shall we say, a level of darkness, where, as we've been discussing a lot at the early stages of this piece, where the kochas atovara, the forces of good and evil, are both within him and confused and mixed with each other. Kashin istav Adam arishon shlo lechol me'etadas tovara. When Adam, and this is again a sensitive idea, a nuanced idea, but once we see what he says now, it should become very clear to us. When Adam was commanded not to eat from the etadas tovara, not to eat from this tree, which means not to even this tree, and don't bring about the state of good and bad, good and evil, confused within your psychological makeup. Behechrach yada meavsharizos, he must have become aware or been aware of the possibility. In other words, you can't command somebody to do something without telling him that it's an option that you can do, that this is something that you could do. In other words, if Hashem says don't do this, it means it's possible to do it. Hashem does not instruct Adam not to do the impossible, because there's no need to instruct him to do that. So he's aware now that world exists. Because this is his challenge. His challenge is know that you could eat from this fruit. Know that if you eat from this fruit, it creates a whole new level of darkness and tov and ra. And know that I don't want you to do that. There shows those ba'atma, this possibility that now exists in Adam's mind. Even without a natural inclination and desire to actualize it, it already connects or touches the Hester Sha'alav Yitag Adam Zal Gufim and Aretz. It already associates with the Hester on which the words of Chazal that his Guf is from this world is justified. The Nigula Malachim, as opposed to Malachim, Shalem Asher, those who don't have this possibility. Bahanish Gufim and Shemayim, and that's what it means that Malachim have the bodies from Shemayim. Meaning to say, okay, and this will become, I think, a little more clear as time goes on, as the next subsequent paragraphs I'll learn. But meaning to say that Malachim don't have a potential to lower themselves to enter into the darkness that human beings exist in. That's not something that's an option to them. Hashem doesn't have to tell them, don't become a human being. They can't become human beings. But human beings can exist on different levels. Conceptually, it could be the human being of Adam before the Chait, and it could be the human being of Adam after the Chait. And the gate to that lower level of Adam after the Chait is open. And it's open, and Adam is aware of it. And that awareness itself creates its own challenge. Right? And let's try to process this by reading a little. If someone has a specific question, I'll take it. But so, yeah.
It's open now because he's heard the command, and then he's like, oh, well. That means that I could do that.
Right. Suddenly,
I'm sorry, this is like really going backwards, but I still don't really understand the concept of the external Yitzharav. Okay, the Nachash is the Yitzharav over there. But how is the Yitzharav is not inside? I don't really understand what it means, the external Yitzharav.
The external Yitzharav, I think, is the best way that I understood it. I'm not going to say I understand it completely. I wish I did. But was where Dessler framed it by telling us which one is the I, which one is the you. And it was before the Chait. Man identified with the good within himself, and there was an external inclination or persuader called the Nachash, called the Yetzirah, that says you want to do the bad thing. I want to do the good thing, and you want to do the bad thing. And after the Chait, we identify with the bad as well. And not only do we identify with the bad as well, we identify with the bad side more than with the good side. That we say, I want to eat that which I shouldn't eat, and then there's this little voice telling us you really shouldn't do that. So which one is us, and which one is something telling us to do the opposite? So that changed.
Why does it have a power if it's not inside of it?
Well, it's not a power. It's a power of persuasion. I mean, it's not an inner power, but it's a power of persuasion, a power of temptation. There's something outside that's pulling him. They're pulling him, telling him yes, 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 and egging him on. We know that. You know, the outside, the person on the outside could get us to do things that we wouldn't do otherwise. All right? Simcha and I go to work out, right? And if that guy wasn't pushing me to do the things that I do, I wouldn't do it. You know, that's why people go to get, why do you need somebody else to help you work out? Just do it, all right? You know?
But that's because you do have an internal Yekahara, but he didn't have an internal Yekahara.
No, but I'm just pointing out that there, it's a Yitzhak on the outside. He's a good guy, but I'm saying, an external persuader could get us to do something that we wouldn't do otherwise. And awaken certain things. So if Dessler is still struggling with, I think, the question you've been struggling with all along, that it does have a natural inclination, so he's saying, but there is, the only way someone is going to commit a chait is through Hester. Right? If there's clarity, there's no room for chait. The possibility of a chait only exists within the world of lack of clarity. And there are different levels of lack of clarity. But he's telling us now that complete clarity is not part of the human condition. So there's, so when you couple that external yetzara with the internal compromised vision, if you will, it can create a level of confusion that can bring about the chay. And now it's all clear, I know. Okay. All right. Amnam, second paragraph, or the first whole paragraph, number 42. But since Adam was commanded not to enter into that lower level, really that option was something that was mufrach etzel, was inherently rejected, and his soul recoils from it like one recoils from fire. Like the Nefesh HaChaim said that the ra side was to Adam like a fire. V'alpha became, nevertheless, Haiza Esel beget in Esayim, but nevertheless, apparently, there was a challenge. Shermetzina Shasa Siyag La'atzmu. Because you find they made a fence for himself. We know that Chazal tell us, the Mishnah Perek gave us, Asu Siyag La'Torah. Make a fence for the Torah. What does it mean to make a fence for the Torah? It's really an instruction to Chazal, but also an instruction to each and every one of us, if we're aware of our particular weaknesses, that a set of fences, Isuri Durabanan, rabbinic injunctions to make sure that we don't violate what the Torah tells us. We don't transgress what the Torah tells us not to do. So you have like meat and milk, right? The Torah tells us don't eat meat and milk that was cooked together. And the Chacham set up a fence is saying don't even eat meat and milk together or even within 6 hours of each other if you ate the meat first, right? And all the other separations we have, so that should never come, Chas HaShalom, to doing what the Torah tells us not to do. We see that Adam set up a fence for himself about his one mitzvah, for his one mitzvah. As Chazal tell us, Kedisa b'Avos d'Rav Nosson. Avos d'Rav Nosson is also I believe it's considered a brisa, but it's a Tanakh source. Ra'alarat Adam Rishon Lomar L'Chava K'derech Shem Elokeinu Kodesh Baruch Hu. Adam did not want to tell it to Chava what Hashem said exactly the way Hashem said it. But rather he said as follows, and he made a fence, more than Hashem said. He added, he didn't say not only that Hashem said don't eat from it, but he said don't even touch it. And here he stresses the following words, Rav Dessler italicizes the following words, he wanted to protect himself, even from touching it, because he's afraid touching could lead to eating. Harei, end quote, right? Harei she diyas of shoriz du etriza osu, which means that knowing about the option troubled him. He felt troubled by it. And he asked, Rav Dessler asked, Velama, why is that? So far he's just stating the fact. The fact is that the knowledge of that door that he's not allowed to go through, even though going through that door in his mind was this fire on the other side of that door. But nevertheless, and this is just, again, just the given, the explanation we still have to work on, but nevertheless, apparently knowing that door existed and that it's theoretically possible to walk through it troubled him sufficiently that he felt the need to set up a fence, right? Felt the need to take a step further away from it, that going right to that door of not eating was scary to him, and he wanted to add to that, don't even touch him. Right? Why? Belama, why is that? Karbianu le'el, we have explained earlier, Sh'adam margish es atzmo kinetzias mefredes mehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he is going to really get to the point that he's trying to develop here. That a person, margish es atzmo, perceives himself as a metzias mefredes, as a separate entity from Hashem. And this sense of individuality is inherently necessary to make it possible to serve Hashem. You know, think some people make fun of it, and we don't mean to make fun of it because we really love it, but ask every seminary girl, right, what do you want to accomplish in seminary? I want to grow, right? That's what I say, I want to grow, right? But we should all feel that way, I want to grow. But the first word in that sentence is I, right? So that I is very important in order for us to grow. We have to have an I. We have to have a sense of ourselves in order to have aspirations to make ourselves better, right? And also to do chesed. You can't do chesed. That's why there's a whole piece that we learned about this. They can't give yourself to somebody else unless you have the you to give. That's the, otherwise, you're not giving anything. He says, you know, if you don't have that sense of ego, of individuality, then you're just an ant in a colony. With there's no meaning to your giving. And if you're supposed to emulate Hashem and give, then it has to be a self, a sense of self and a sense of ownership and a sense of own needs and aspirations and desires. And then you give of that, then you're giving to somebody. So it's necessary. Havodat Hashem, Olishchanis Gemurah, Shalasiyas Nachas Ruach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to the whole idea of giving chesed for Hashem, when we do mitzvot for serving Hashem. So it's I, Shehi Kavanah Sabriyah, and all this is the purpose of creation itself. Achein, however, gam ba'avodat Hashem, hachi me'ula, but, or however, even in the most elevated form of avodat Hashem, yev shel himala legamri me'hagash anochi ha'oved, you can't escape the feeling or the sense of anochi ovid. I serve Hashem. The gab is chastus adai nishra avchana shani am is chastus to know sinis atzmi. Even when we're being generous and giving of ourselves, this idea that I am the one who's doing chesed, and I'm giving of myself. We can skip the parentheses. Even though I don't usually skip parentheses in Rav Dessler, but I am here. After the parentheses, lu yehize ach tzil shel hargasha. Let's call it even just a hint of a feeling of ego. Avlat levatol legamri levat legamri yefsha, but you can't completely erase it. Every act that we do has an element of ego in it. And that ego is very, very difficult to even be aware of sometimes, but we have to be aware of it. And this is Musar again. If you remember, I said Musar is to try to delve deep into ourselves and what's really going on. So, with this understanding that we all have some ego involved in everything that we do, so we have two paths open to Adam. Derech has alas madregas gan eden. The first path, the desired path, or desirable path, and that is to go up to the level of gan eden, right? To overcome all the challenge. Lis alas bedvegas b'Hashem ad kidei chisul gomer shol, to embrace the vegas in Hashem to the point of chisul gomer. Gamli Diaz of Shores, how you read El Tovarat, to the point where he eradicates the notion of the possibility of doing the wrong thing, going down to Tovarat. In other words, had he overcome the challenge, he would have gone straight to Abba. His world of Bechira would have been behind him, because we learned that with every time you overcome a challenge, you grow beyond the Bechira, and it's not Bechira anymore. You go to the next level. But there is no next level for Adam. Next level of challenge. The next level is, you've arrived. And he would have arrived, right? That was choice number one. The way he would have arrived, the vola kar, by coming to the awareness, shagam havchana zo, kema shalom bezoz bach Hashem, mekoma b'shek ben emetzius. That to go down to the world of Tovara is not a good thing, and not only is not a good thing, but it's, since Hashem doesn't want it, it's all sheker, it's falsehood, and it's ben emetzius, it's not real. But Bayes, the second choice, the challenge, was lifnos lamata, meaning the temptation, was lifnos lamata, to turn downwards, to face downwards, but lishovli yirida l'tzorch aliyah, and to aspire, as Rav explained earlier, for a yirida, a going down, with the purpose of being able to overcome and outgrow it. Amanas lahagdil hagilu mitocha ester, for the purpose of revealing more of Hashem in that darkness that exists after eating from the fruit. In his mind, these are two approaches that were equal. They're both l'shem shemayim. And nevertheless, l'derech hashniyah, for the second approach, they're accompanied that second choice a hint of ego. He hirgish, because he sensed that he will be the one to reveal the Kedusha of Hashem in the world. And as a result of that, he felt a little bit of a tug in that direction. Harei she hester hagashas ha'ani ha'oved. He felt a little bit of a tug in that direction. Harei she hester hagashas ha'ani ha'yeshor she'nisayim. And therefore, the concluding words of Rav Dessler on this part is that the hester, the darkness that comes from a sense of ego, of the ani, of the I, was the root of the challenge. You know, it's a little bit easier to explain this concept to males. Why? Not because males understand the concept that every guy wants to be Superman. Okay? And who's Superman? Superman is the guy who saves the world. And the reason why he wants to be Superman is not because he wants the world to be saved. It's because he wants to be the one to save the world. And there's a world of a difference between those two, right? Because, you know, there are even stories, by the way, of people, firemen, who have been found to be guilty of arson because they wanted fires to put out, because they wanted to be the heroes, right? And this has been known to happen. So, you know, think of Superman who doesn't have a world to save. Poor guy, what's he going to do with himself? He's got to create a crisis in order to be able to save the world. Now, that's very, very crude. I don't oversimplify it. But because we're talking about Adam Rishon and the level that he was on. But he's saying still a shadow of ego that got drawn to this idea that if I go down there, I can save the world. In other words, the point is tikkun olam, right? To chase away all of the darkness and to bring the final light to the world. And I have a little bit of light to bring, but imagine how much more light I will be the one to have brought if I first descend into the world of darkness. So this doesn't mean that, I don't know what Vesel means, I can't really speak for this. Does it mean to see this as conscious? Or that this is so deep in the subconscious that it's difficult? Would it be difficult for Adam to become aware of what's driving him? If he was aware of it, then he would be able to overcome it. But that's the challenge, is are we aware of what's driving us? You know, in the world of Musa, they talk about the mida of anivus. Anivus is humility, right? Humility, like you have to work on my humility, But they warn the Baal Musar, the one who's studying Musar and trying to work on his humility, that don't confuse humility with arrogance, because they can easily be confused. Because, right, I'm so humble. But you don't think about that so consciously, it's not that crude. It is somewhere deep down in my subconscious, there's something tugging me that's hoping somebody notices how humble I am. Mm-hmm. Right? Somebody said, but even though it's so many layers down, it really is humble. It really is humble, except that somewhere really deep down there's a rot over there that's ruining it all. Yeah, and so Adam is challenged by his ear. Is he aware that his ego is playing a role? And to the extent that Odessa is explaining this is in the Sayon, he's saying his ego clouded his clarity. So not that he was aware that this is what's driving him. He thought that he's doing a L'shem Shemayim. He genuinely thought he was doing a L'shem Shemayim, that I want to bring Kiddush Hashem into the world. And what could be wrong with that?
Everything, it is. It's like perfect already. What need is there for tikkun olam? It's already...
No.
Complete?
Call it almost complete.
And what was the almost part that he should have resisted doing that?
Yes,
that would have
right,
been done.
Correct.
And then kind of, I don't know, what would have been after that? Like there would have been no other humans,
A lot of good questions. A lot of good questions, but I don't think I can answer them, but I'll maybe just throw some thoughts out there. But saying to say there would be no other humans is misunderstanding what Adam was. He was all of humans. He was humankind. So the point of other humans is because Adam, as we explained, blew it, and he became so many more people who contribute and help do the job that he had to do. So if he would have done it himself, then humankind would have done what it needed to do and would have gone into Olam Haba. Would there have been a need for future generations? Probably not, at least the way I understand it, with my limited understanding. That's the world of Olam Haba. The world of Olam Haba is a world where the Gemara talks a little bit about Olam Haba as being a world where there's no competition and there's no jealousy and there's no work and there's no procreation and it's just tzaddikim yoshim, the tzaddikim sit, v'atrasim v'rashim, the crowns on their heads, and then in the zivashkin in the basket of the glow of the shechina. Some people that sound boring, but we don't understand what the Shema really wants. And of course all of those things are metaphors, as far as the crown and this and that. But the point is that we live in the world of Erev Shabbos, right? Okay, this is something that might, you know, that those of you sitting here can understand. The world of Erev Shabbos. The world of Erev Shabbos is the world of work, right? One who works in Erev Shabbos and prepares, halav to eat on Shabbos. If you don't have any, if you don't do anything in Erev Shabbos, you won't have what to eat on Shabbos. The Chazal is not talking about our Fridays and Shabbos. Chazal is talking about this world and the next world. The next world is the world of Yom Shekula Shabbos, completely Shabbos. So all of the things that are part of our experiences right now will not be the case there. It's going to be a different kind of different dimension of existence, right? So that was the goal. The goal was to go straight to Olam Haba. But getting back to what Odessa saying over here is that in his mind, he managed to convince himself that both options will Hashem Shemayim, that should he eat from the tree, it's only because he wants, only knowing that it's an Avera, Hashem told him not to, but it's Avera Lishma, doing Hashem Shemayim, and maybe there'll be some price to pay for it somewhere along the way, but it's well worth it because he wants to make Hashem's world a better place, and he wants to play a beautiful role in that, without recognizing the emphasis on the he that was pulling him in that direction that helped him make that decision, ultimately the wrong decision. Okay. All right, my modern Hebrew is not so good, so I had to look up this word. Do we know what sekhranut means? You know what sekhranut means? I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. The next piece. Yeah. Sekhranut, I believe, is curiosity. No, not what? It's not what it means?
No, the
word. Okay. Pesach l'chet, the opening to chet. Yesh v'adam gadur v'nei avera. You can have a situation where a person is gadur. Gadur means that he is well protected from doing the sin. He's fenced off and is psychologically fenced off from doing the sin. And no plans to do it, no desires to do it. Nevertheless, mu'unyan hu ladas odos muhus shalachet. He's interested in knowing a little bit about the nature of the sin. But varm hanogim lo misaviv. And what goes on around the sin? What are the circumstances surrounding the sin? Lo manas lasos chasoshom. Not because the chasoshom wants to do it. El Hashem yidia ba'alma. I just want to know. Koach zeh sekhranut shemu. This is called curiosity. V'pesach l'chit atmu. And it's an opening, a gateway to sin itself. If a person were to elevate himself to a level that's closer to the truth, his curiosity would evaporate by definition. But in Makir, he'd recognize, other than truth, there's nothing to be curious about because there's nothing there. Everything else is just an illusion. There's no reality to it. Why should he be interested in emptiness and illusion? It's similar, akin to this idea we find, both in Dakman Hadak. Here you see the word Dak before, mentioned before. Dak is thick, Dak. Dakman Hadak, in the most fine way. That means the most sensitive way, like the way the Bali Musar, like Rav Dessa, when they talk about this subject, which really makes it feel uncomfortable, to try to understand the chet of the great people in Tanakh, then they speak about the chet as being on a Dakman Hadak level. Dakman Hadak level means you would need an extremely fine, extremely sensitive Avera detector to be able to detect this Avera. We would never be able to see it as an Avera. It's Dakman Hadak, it is in the most sensitive levels of doing an Avera where only for them would be considered a chet. So, and both in Dakman and Dagilon Chazal revealed us the Talach Nisyonish Adam Rishon, the progression of the Nisyon, of the test, the challenge of Adam Rishon. By knowing, as we mentioned before, that there is the Metzias, the existence of knowing Tovara, which he's not allowed to experience. Nilchas Mechshavto Til Rayon Veshemetz Ratzon. There entered into his mind, tel rayon, a shadow of a thought, the shemetz watzon, and a hint of a desire, l'daso to say, to know about it. Lo l'shem avera chas hashom, not to sin, el l'shem idiyah ba'alma, I just wanted to know. Ubizeh, and through that, Esrachiv HaPesach, the opening got wider, then Esamek HaNesayin Od Yotzer, and the challenge became greater. Ubachin Azu, he Shagdir Zal, Ba'amr Sha'adam Rishon, with the Erech Rom Kiddushas Madrigaso, and we should read these words carefully just to see how sensitive Rav Dessler is in approaching this issue. He says, Ubachin Azu, this aspect, is what Chazal Higdiru defined, Ba'amram, by saying, Sha'adam Rishon, that Adam, now he pauses before he gets to the point, that Adam was the Erech Rom Kedushas Madrigaso, according to the level, the great level of his Kedusha, of the high, the level of the Kedusha of his level, meaning what we're talking about over here is only an issue on his level. Chazal tell us an amazing, amazing statement. Ratza Litom HaTavshil. It's a cryptic statement. Ratza Litom HaTavshil, that Adam wanted a taste from the stew. That's the literal translation. From the stew. Tavshil is a stew, so that's cooking. And Ratza Litom, he wanted a taste from it. Meaning that, again, on his level, he began to, you know, to, in his mind, having, taking some interest in it. Some interest. Ukeshehechel and Esoyin Azeh, Lahoglo, when this challenge, he started feeling that, when this began to gnaw at him, Rod Sorach Lasos Siyag, he saw the need to make a fence, so it was only go up eight, not even to touch the tree. But by moving Pnimi, and on a deeper, with a deeper understanding, trying to get a deeper understanding, what does it mean not to touch the tree? On a deeper level, what that means is, Shalayava Afilu Bekitzeya Machshava, that he shouldn't even come, it shouldn't come even to the edge of his thought, the De Maga Be'inin Achet, to have any kind of Maga, any kind of touching or contact with sin. Avalamaisa, practically speaking, Kisvaris Arab Etzlotel Tel Shanochil. But a hint of ego had already mixed in there, inserted itself. Ide Etzem Asiyas Asiyag. And this is even more powerful, those three words. Alide Etzem Asiyas Asiyag. By making the fence, who made the fence? Adam. In Adam's mind, let's think from Adam's perspective, who made the fence? You're Adam now. Who made the fence? I did. No, but you're Adam. I. Right? Yeah, I. So the ego is messing around over here. You know, on a cruder level, we can talk about our world where some people, and this is not an attack on Chumra as a concept, it's just an understanding. For some people, Chumra is ego, and Chumra convinces them that they're being really, really frum, when really what's driving it is something else entirely, right? So I am making the siyag, and as he inserts himself into this process, and as he becomes to some degree master over what shape these restrictions have, and what shape it should take, there's an ego playing a role over here. Hayor Mazal, Chazal tell us in this indented paragraph. That's what the Torah tells us. That it seems that don't adding could corrupt you. Don't make the fence more than the actual issue. That's an expression that Chazal used in Kabbalistic works use. You shouldn't fall and cut down the sapling. Right? Meaning that that as you add things in order to be frumer, your ego is you become bigger than the Isser itself. You become the center of attention instead of Hashem's desire and Hashem's instructions. That on the day you eat from you will die, Hashem told them. He lo amr chain, and the Chava did not say that. Al amr amr al kim lo stochu menu lo siga. Right? The Chazal said don't, and she said don't touch it. Ba'im Sanhedrin. Kalamos of Gorea. Chazal tell us in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Kalamos of Gorea, that anyone who adds, subtracts, or detracts, makes it worse. Shenemar Amar Lakim Lasochlimen of Lasigabo, because they played around with it by adding the idea of Lasigabo, don't touch it. The Tzorgbir, this needs explanation. Eich Korel is Agedo Yosemin Iker. Why is this called making the fence more than the Iker, than the actual prohibition of eating from the tree. Maybe it's equal. Who says it's making it greater? So he's asking a question here. But right now, before we get to the question and the answer, let's digest and process this concept, because it's so hard. It's so hard for us to understand ourselves, to know ourselves. It takes a lot of work to know ourselves. We're striving. But we have this idea over here that as Adam, or person, any person, but in this case, talking about Adam or Risha, messes around with what Hashem says, even if in his own mind it's for a positive purpose, you've entered into danger zone. Danger, danger, danger. There are red lights going on all over the place. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't make siyag or siyagim, right? We're told that through siyag la-Torah. But to have this awareness that as I set things up, as I mentioned before, insert myself into defining the contours and the shape and the flavor of how this mitzvah, this halach, is going to present itself to me, then my ego has now been inserted, and it clouds the issue and it creates a lot of confusion. Okay, it's a good question. But he's quoting Chazal over here, right? That's why he brought in the Medrash. The Medrash says that this is what Rav Chi says, he's quoting Chazal, don't make what you add even more than the Iker Mitzvah itself. Excuse me. And Chazal telling us this is what happened with Adam, and this one confused him. So Rav Dess is really playing a lot of detective work over here, putting together a lot of pieces, but if we are careful to look along the way, and we see how he's bringing Chazal into the picture of what does this mean, that Ratzah Litzum and Atavshel, that he wanted a taste from the food. Now, we have to know if Dessler has a foundation to be able to approach these issues. He learned a lot of Kabbalah, which this is, I would say it's all based on Kabbalah, but what he's doing is, a Rebbe of mine once introduced us to the term Nigla Shebenista. They talk about Kabbalah. Kabbalah is called, masters of Kabbalah called Yodei Chen. Yodei Chen doesn't know Chen. Now Chen, Chen is, what is Chen? It means charm, whatever it is. But Chen stands for Chachmas Nista, the hidden wisdom of Kabbalah. So, but in the world of Nista, this, and there's something called Nigla Shebenista, meaning Nigla is the opposite of Nista. Nigla means the Torah that's revealed. And Nista means the Torah that's hidden. But there's a term, Nigla Shebenista, the revealed part of the hidden Torah. Right? What does it mean, the revealed part of the hidden Torah? It's like the tip of the iceberg, that tip that peaks out of the world. Most of it is. So the foundation for it is on a much deeper level. So some of what Rav Dessler bases this whole progression on, this description of the progression of the Chedivah de Mishan, comes from the Memorah Chazal that we've seen over here. That he's given us snippets and quotes that are a little bit of a window into this process of this progression. But I also think that there's a lot more in the foundation that we may or may not have exposure to. Yeah.
It just seems like it's something that has to relate to generations other than ourselves. But it's just so, this is like so fundamental human nature.
Yeah. It's,
someone says, don't do that. No matter how old are you, you know, whether you're two or whether you're however old, it makes it, that's going to be the magnet for you to do it.
Right.
So it just seems like this is illuminating human nature.
It's pure psychology.
We couldn't escape ourselves no matter what. It just, I don't know, it just seems like this is sort of the lesson on some level, or the understanding that Adam HaRishon, he's still Adam.
At the end of the day, he's a human being. Right. I think you're spot on. Yeah. Yeah. So whereas we would have not noticed Adam even perhaps doing a chet, or certainly would have noticed his tainted motivations, and everything was working on his level, dakman at dak, but that's just a matter of degree. But fundamentally, the issues are really the same. And I think that goes back to what Odessa said at the very beginning of this speech. Whatever the very beginning, but at the beginning he told us that if this story is in the Torah, it means you're supposed to learn from it. And we're learning a lot about human nature over here. And I think that's exactly what you're saying, is that at the end of the day, Adam was an Adam. There was ego. There was the fact that he exists and the darkness that comes with that. And start putting it all together, and you have all of the pieces that mess with us that make it difficult for us to make healthy and good decisions. And the more awareness we have, the better positioned we are not to fall into those traps. And that's why such a piece is extremely important. And that's why really it is important that we bring it down to our level. The idea of, which you kind of hinted to, and we had in another piece as well, of Ma'an Ganuz and Yom Tov, as the Pasuk says. Ma'an Ganuz, stolen waters are sweet. Which is the same thing as the forbidden fruit. You want that which you can't have. Right? And that's the way it is. You know, and we don't realize we're driving that. We you may remember, Shana, we had a Vedasa, another piece spoke about the Gemara that tells us that it's a very interesting story, but there was somebody who was suspected of having an affair with a married woman. And a situation arose where he, with a husband, was about to drink something that was poisoned, and this person who was suspected saved the husband. He stopped him from drinking from it. So the Gemara says that proves that he's innocent. It proves that he's innocent because this is perfect. You know, sometimes people will kill the husband under circumstances. He didn't have to do it or happen on his own. The fact that he saved his life proves that he's not having a relationship with his wife. So the Gemara says, Pshita, it's obvious. Like, why do you even have to tell me that? You know, the Gemara doesn't state the obvious. If it's obvious, then figure out on your own. We don't have to be told that. And the Gemara answers, no, it's not so obvious, because maybe he kept him alive in order to maintain the illicit nature of what he's doing, because Ma'an Ganuz Mi'utako, because he wants to be stolen water.
Or also just save the guy and everything.
Okay. So you have a more devious mind, but you know. Okay, but that's not the Gemara says. But listen to this. The Gemara says that maybe he kept him alive because that's what's driving him over here, is that it's stolen water. On which Tosfos, which is a later commentary on the Gemara, says, that's a brilliant idea. How do we know he's innocent? Maybe that's why he's keeping him alive, is because of Ma'an Ganuz. And Tos answers, it is why he's keeping alive, but he doesn't know that. He doesn't realize what's driving him. He thinks she's the most beautiful, wonderful woman, and she is his basharet, and the only problem is that the husband is in the way. So if he died, he'd be perfect, right? He doesn't, if you were guilty. But really what's driving him is the fact that it's Ma'an Ganuz. And the fact is, the Gemara Sinti tells us that if he was guilty and the husband was to die, he would drop her like a hot potato, because not interested anymore, because nothing exciting anymore. So we act on one level thinking that this is why we're acting, when really on a subconscious level there's something else entirely that's motivating us. And to peel, again, it's layers upon layers, and to be aware of the fact, you know, what's really driving me. And if we're not sure, that's when we need to speak to somebody else. I'm not talking about, you know, doing something crass and crude like what the Gemara's talking about. But we have decisions to make, right? Decisions to make. And we believe we're being objective. But are we really taking all the pieces into account? And how often do we suppress certain factors from our decision-making process because we don't want to hear them? Because we have whatever reason, we have a vested interest in going to the other option. So we don't want to listen to ourselves or to other people because we're afraid we're going to have too much clarity and it's going to be obvious that that's not the right decision. So there's all kinds of stuff, but going to another person is a great way it has to be someone who will tell us like it is. Like, you know, you're just ignoring certain factors, ignoring certain factors. And to be honest with us, and that's the best friend we can have. The best friend we can have is someone who points out to us when we're playing games and not being honest with ourselves. But that's what we're being told over here, that at some level, Adam was not being honest with himself because he's a human being. And it's not always easy for us to be honest with ourselves. Big challenge. And again, going back to Musa, that's a Musa, the Bali Musa worked for years on themselves, on one issue, on one midah, for years. to really, really krichereins. It's crawl deep within oneself to find out who am I really and what's really driving my actions and my decisions. Okay, well, we'll stop here, and Bez Hashem, I think next week we'll be able to wrap up this piece. Okay? Thank you for coming.